This is the daily radio ministry of Pastor Sandy Adams of Calvary Chapel Stone Mountain in Atlanta, Georgia. Pastor Sandy is currently teaching through the book of Exodus. Pastor Sandy will start in Exodus chapter 28 today on this edition of Sandy Adams Radio.
God sees His people, His kids, as precious jewels. Don't miss that. That God sees you as a gemstone, as a precious jewel, that He loves you, that He values you greatly. You are His diamond. You are His sapphire. You are His beautiful, expensive, valuable stone. We're living stones in God's family. Well, verses 22 through 28 describe how the breastplate hung from the ephod. God wanted it securely attached, just like He wants us securely attached in Christ Jesus. And you can read these verses on your own later if you'd like. Verse 30, "And you shall put in the breastplate of judgment the Urim and the Thummim, and they shall be over Aaron's heart when he goes in before the Lord. So Aaron shall bear the judgment of the children of Israel over his heart before the Lord continually." Now remember, this breastplate formed a pouch. And inside the pouch, the priest carried the Urim and the Thummim. These names mean lights and perfections. Now, what they were, we really don't know. Some people believe that they were two stones. One stone spoke for yes, the other stone spoke for no. And so when the nation needed guidance, the high priest would reach into his pouch and he would pull out the answer, yes or no. They could have been diamonds that either sparkled with a yes or maybe gave off a dim no. Obviously, you'd have to ask your question in a yes or no question, kind of like playing one of those TV games, you know, where you had to, couldn't be a descriptive answer. It had to be a yes or no kind of answer you were looking for. It's interesting. Folks at the Temple Institute in Jerusalem, where we just visited, they suggest that the name of God was written on a piece of parchment and actually placed inside this pouch so that when the priest needed guidance, the name of God would shine through the breastplate and would illuminate certain letters that were written on these stones, the names of the tribes on these stones, and actually spell out a specific message to the people. It was God's way of communicating His will to the people. Here's what we know for sure. Today, God has already spelled out His will to His people. We have all we need to know right here in our Bibles. God's Spirit today guides us through God's Word. Today, God speaks to us. He speaks to His people by the Urim and the Thummim. By the using and the thumbing through the pages of the Scripture. That's our using and thumbing. Verse 31. "You shall make the robe of the ephod all of blue. There shall be an opening for his head in the middle of it. It shall have a woven binding all around its opening, like the opening in a coat of mail or armor, so that it does not tear. And upon its hem you shall make pomegranates of blue, purple, and scarlet all around its hem." These were decorative. "And bells of gold between them all around, a golden bell and a pomegranate, a golden bell and a pomegranate upon the hem of the robe all around. And it shall be upon Aaron when he ministers, and its sound will be heard when he goes into the holy place before the Lord and when he comes out, that he may not die." The bells let you know that the priest was still active, that he was moving around, that he was alive, that God had not judged him for his sin and struck him dead. If the people outside stopped hearing the little jingle bells on the bottom of his robe, they knew that the priest was a dead ringer. There is a Jewish legend that tells us that the high priest would even have a rope tied to his ankle. Now, I don't know if this is true or not. It's a legend. But that the high priest would have a rope tied to his ankle so that if he died, if he was judged for his sin in the inner court, he could be pulled out without the retrievers having to risk their own lives by going in after him. It all showed how little confidence the Hebrews had of entering into God's presence. They were afraid. They were scared of judgment. Compare that to our confidence in Christ Jesus. Did you know what Hebrews tells us? Do you know what Hebrews assures us? Let us therefore come boldly to the throne of grace. Don't be timid. Don't be shy about approaching God. Come boldly to the throne of grace. You've been covered by the blood of Jesus, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. Jesus abolishes our sin totally and completely. Our pardon is full and free. There is no reason for us, those of us who are in Christ, to be fearful about reaching out to God for help, about entering into his presence today. Verse 36, you shall also make a plate of pure gold and engrave on it, like the engraving of a signet, holiness to the Lord. And you shall put it on a blue cord, that it may be on the turban. It shall be on the front of the turban, so it shall be on Aaron's forehead. The priest wore, or it shall be on Aaron's forehead, that Aaron may bear the iniquity of the holy things which the children of Israel hallow in all their holy gifts, and it shall always be on his forehead, that they may be accepted before the Lord. The priest wore this plate on his forehead. Recently, I read where a fellow went on eBay and he rented out his forehead for advertising space. He figured, why let that space above your eyes go to waste? And so he actually went on the eBay, and for $37,000, a company bought his forehead to advertise their product. Can you imagine? But understand, the priest did the same thing in essence. He had holiness to the Lord on his forehead. He promoted God's holiness, God's purity, God's set apartness. Priest was a walking billboard, you might say. Wouldn't it be a good idea if you and I had an imaginary plate? If we would just take an imaginary plate that said holiness to the Lord, and if we would just sort of hang that from our forehead at all times to remind us of God's holiness, so that every time an image went into our eyes, or every time a thought went into our head, anytime that might happen, that it would have to pass muster with the holiness of the Lord. Wouldn't that be a good idea? Wouldn't that be important to us? Remember, the spiritual battle is won or lost in the arena of the mind. Well, notice this plate on Aaron's forehead. It says that Aaron, it's there, that Aaron may bear the iniquity of the holy things. Isn't that interesting? The iniquity of the holy things. What a strange expression. It's interesting that not until Jesus came as our sacrifice was the sacrifice itself enough to cover our sin. That's why the blood of bulls and goats, that's why not one bull was able to do the job. That's why these offerings were done over and over and over and over, because the sacrifices they were offering were impure in and of themselves. It wasn't until Jesus came as our sacrifice that the sacrifice actually atoned for sin. Prior to that, each of the sacrifices was impure and tainted with sin. That's why the high priest always brought an imperfect sacrifice at the very best. And thus God accepted it really only because of his mercy. It wasn't until Jesus came that our sin was truly once and for all atoned for. And here we find it, that Aaron may bear the iniquity of the holy things. Interesting phrase. Well, verse 39, and you shall skillfully weave the tunic of fine linen thread. You shall make the turban of fine linen, and you shall make the sash of woven work. For Aaron's sons, you shall make tunics, and you shall make sashes for them, and you shall make hats for them for glory and beauty, so that you shall put them on Aaron your brother and on his sons with him. You shall anoint them, consecrate them, and sanctify them, that they may minister to me as priests. Verse 42, very important, especially for you high school guys. Listen to this. And you shall make for them linen trousers to cover their nakedness. They shall reach from the waist to the thighs. Notice two characteristics about these priestly pants. First of all, they were Bermuda shorts. They reached from the waist down to the thighs. But perhaps most importantly, notice, they started at the waist, not the hips. The priests were forbidden to sag. And to my knowledge, this is the only pair of pants that God ever designed. So obviously, he didn't want them to sag. Verse 43. They shall be on Aaron and on his sons when they come into the tabernacle of meeting, or when they come near the altar to minister in the holy place, that they do not incur iniquity and die. In other words, the pants were designed for modesty. And if the priest were to expose himself, he were sagging, you know, and accidentally his pants just slipped down, and he exposed himself in a holy place, he would desecrate the altar. God might strike him dead. It shall be a statute forever to him and his descendants after him. Hebrews 7 explains that we have a better priest, that Jesus Christ is our great high priest. And notice the contrast between his garments and these priestly garments we've just studied. Jesus wore a purple robe for mocking, not a beautiful ephod. Jesus had no precious gems on his shoulders, only a cross of wood. Jesus had no breastplate, and yet he had an incredible, infinite love for Israel and for his people, for all humanity. Folks around Jesus didn't hear little jingling bells. They just heard the pounding of nails. No linen turban adorned Jesus' head, only a crown of thorns. No head plate read holiness, and yet Jesus' life and death shouted out his holiness. And no linen trousers hid his nakedness. Jesus bore our guilt and our shame upon that cross. Well, chapter 29. And this is what you shall do to them to hallow them for ministering to me as priests. In other words, here's how you're to dedicate the priests. Take one young bull and two rams without blemish and unleavened bread, unleavened cakes mixed with oil, and unleavened wafers anointed with oil. You shall make them of wheat flour. You shall put them in one basket and bring them in the basket with the bull and the two rams. And Aaron and his sons you shall bring to the door of the tabernacle of meeting, and you shall wash them with water. And I'm sure they were excited. This was their priestly commission, their dedication ceremony. Then you shall take the garments, put the tunic on Aaron, and the robe of the ephod, and the breastplate, and gird him with the intricately woven band of the ephod. You shall put the turban on his head, and then put the holy crown on the turban, that plate that read, "Holiness to the Lord." In other words, fitting for the service of the Lord. And I want you to notice that the priest is fit for the service of the Lord only in the garments that the Lord has provided for him. Notice that. These are not garments he brought from home. These are the garments that God had provided for him. And the same is true for us, guys. I don't care what clothes you might bring from home. The only thing that makes you fit for God, pleasing to him and fit for his service, is the righteousness that he provides. Is the righteousness of Jesus Christ that he provides for us. The garments that he clothes us with. Your garments from home are no good. They won't make you fit for service and they won't make you pleasing to God. We only stand righteousness in the garments that he provides.
And you shall take the anointing oil, pour it on his head, and anoint him. Then you shall bring his sons and put tunics on them, and you shall gird them with sashes, Aaron and his sons, and put the hats on them, and the priesthood shall be theirs for a perpetual statute. So you shall consecrate Aaron and his sons. Verse 10. And you shall also have the bull brought before the tabernacle of meeting. And Aaron and his sons shall put their hands on the head of the bull. The laying on of hands symbolized the transference of sin. But I want you to understand, the Hebrew word for laying on of hands implies more than a light touch. This was an emotional moment. The priest placed his hands on the head of the bull and he pressed down hard. You know, he literally leaned on the bull. Thus, the priest thrust all of his sin on the sacrifice. Then you shall kill the bull before the Lord by the door of the tabernacle of meeting. And you shall take some of the blood of the bull and put it on the horns of the altar with your finger and pour all the blood beside the base of the altar. And you shall take all the fat that covers the entrails, the fatty lobe attached to the liver, and the two kidneys and the fat that is on them, and burn them on the altar. Verse 14, but the flesh of the bull with its skin and its offal you shall burn with fire outside the camp, for it is a sin offering. It's interesting. Jesus, too, was sacrificed outside the camp. Those of us who just went to Israel now understand that Jesus was sacrificed at the place of the skull at Golgotha, and the place of the skull was outside the camp. It was outside the northern wall of Jerusalem. Verse 15, you shall also take one ram, and Aaron and his son shall put their hands on the head of the ram, and you shall kill the ram, and you shall take its blood and sprinkle it all around the altar. Then you shall cut the ram in pieces, wash its entrails and its legs, and put them with its pieces and with its head. And you shall burn the whole ram on the altar. It is a burnt offering to the Lord. It is a sweet aroma, an offering made by fire to the Lord. Now, we've talked about a sin offering. Now we're talking about a burnt offering. There were actually seven different sacrifices that were offered. And we're going to study and learn the differences of the sacrifices when we get to the book of Leviticus. So just hold on for a few more weeks. You shall also take the other ram, and Aaron and his sons shall put their hands on the head of the ram. Then you shall kill the ram, and notice this, and take some of its blood and put it on the tip of the right ear of Aaron and on the tip of the right ear of his sons and on the thumb of their right hand and on the big toe of their right foot and sprinkle the blood all around the altar. Notice the extent to which they were dedicated to the Lord. In essence, from head to toe. Notice that? Did you know that God wants all of you? That God wants to possess you from head to toe? That God wants you to dedicate yourself to Him from head to toe? Dedicate your ears to God. To hear only His word. Dedicate your hands to God to do only His will. Dedicate your feet to God to walk only in His ways. I hope you'll be dedicated to God from head to toe. Verse 21, and you shall take some of the blood that is on the altar and some of the anointing oil and sprinkle it on Aaron and on his garments and on his sons and on the garments of his sons with him, and he and his garments shall be hallowed, and his sons' garments with him. Priests were always covered with blood. Their job was to butcher the sacrifices. And so here they're breaking in this new uniform. And notice, too, the anointing of blood and oil. Notice that double anointing. It was Spurgeon who wrote this. We need to know that double anointing. The blood of Jesus which cleanses and the oil of the Spirit which perfumes us. It is well to see how these two blend in one. We need both, too. Both the cleansing that comes through the blood of Jesus and the power that comes through the anointing of the oil of the Holy Spirit. We need a double anointing. Also, you shall take the fat of the ram, the fat tail, and the fat that covers the entrails, the fatty lobe attached to the liver, the two kidneys and the fat on them, the right thigh, for it is a ram of consecration. And you thought God wasn't interested in fat. Apparently, fat is not a bad thing. One loaf of bread, one cake made with oil, and one wafer from the basket of the unleavened bread that is before the Lord. And you shall put all these in the hands of Aaron and in the hands of his sons, and you shall wave them as a wave offering before the Lord. And here is the first time in history that a group of people do the wave. Yeah, yeah. They present a wave offering to the Lord. Notice the fat. Notice this. The fat always belongs to the Lord. The abundance, the excess, in essence, always belongs to the Lord. But the meat of the sacrifice belongs to the priest. Notice verse 25. You shall receive them back from their hands and burn them on the altar as a burnt offering, as a sweet aroma before the Lord. It is an offering made by fire to the Lord. But then you shall take the breast of the ram of Aaron's consecration. This was a good cut of meat. This is not fat. This is the breast. And wave it as a wave offering before the Lord, and it shall be your portion. And from the ram of the consecration, you shall consecrate the breast of the wave offering, which is waved. And notice this, and the thigh, is another good piece of meat, of the heave offering, which is raised, of that which is for Aaron and of that which is for his sons. Get a two-piece dinner at KFC, and what do you get? A breast and a thigh. That's what the priest got. Verse 28, it shall be from the children of Israel for Aaron and his sons by statute forever, for it is a heave offering. Notice we wave a wave offering. So what do you imagine we do with a heave offering? We heave it. We just kind of heave it up to the Lord. You wave the wave offering, you heave the heave offering. Just kind of push it up to the Lord. It shall be a heave offering from the children of Israel, from the sacrifices of their peace offerings, that is their heave offering to the Lord. And the holy garments of Aaron shall be his sons after him, to be anointed in them and to be consecrated in them. That son who becomes the priest in his place shall put them on for 7 days when he enters the tabernacle of meeting to minister in the holy place. The succession of the high priest will be passed down among Aaron's family, among his sons. And here he describes the dedication of the new high priest, verse 31. And you shall take the ram of the consecration and boil its flesh in the holy place. Then Aaron and his sons shall eat the flesh of the ram and the bread that is in the basket by the door of the tabernacle of meeting. They shall eat those things with which the atonement was made to consecrate and to sanctify them, but an outsider shall not eat them because they are holy. And if any of the flesh of the consecration offerings or of the bread remains until the morning, then you shall burn the remainder with fire. It shall not be eaten because it is holy. And remember, in ancient culture, eating was the strongest expression of unity and cooperation between two people. Boy, if we ate together, we became one with each other. And thus, the priest eating his portion of the sacrifice was his affirmation of the dedication that had just been worked for on his behalf. Well, verse 35, thus you shall do to Aaron and his sons, according to all that I have commanded you, 7 days you shall consecrate them. This whole dedication procedure, what we've just read about, was repeated for 7 days. Well, verse 36 through 42 lists some daily sacrifices that were carried out by the priest. Each day a bull was to be sacrificed to freshly dedicate the altar of God. Each morning and each evening, a lamb, along with a grain offering and a drink offering, flour and wine, were offered as an expression of the people's desire to please the Lord. As Moses put it, as a sweet aroma to the Lord.
That's all we have time for on this edition of Sandy Adams Radio. If you're interested in hearing today's message in Exodus again, or listening to more teachings from Pastor Sandy, we invite you to visit our website, sandyadams.org. You'll find a complete archive of his scripturally based messages, as well as a link to download our mobile app. While you're online, be sure to visit the shop. There you'll find several resources available for purchase to accompany your personal studies of God's Word, including books written by Pastor Sandy. Do you live in the Atlanta area, or will you be visiting soon? If so, we'd love to meet you in person. Come join us at Calvary Chapel Stone Mountain on Sunday mornings for our time of worship, Bible study, and fellowship. Come just as you are. You'll find you're among friends here. You'll find service times, directions, and more information at sandyadams.org or give us a call at 770-736-2828. That's 770-736-2828. When you call, please let us know how we can be lifting you up in prayer. Would you pray for us too? We can't do any of this without the loving guidance of our Creator. Thanks for praying for us. Pastor Sandy has more to share next time, so be sure to tune in again for Sandy Adams Radio.